This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris square off tonight in the ABC News presidential debate. The stakes are high for both candidates as polls in battleground states show a dead heat. Topics include the economy, reproductive rights, and wars overseas. But Americans are also looking at which candidate will be best to lead the country. ABC's Jonathan Carl is in Philadelphia.
They're going to be in the Constitution Center. They're going to be right across the way from where the Constitution was actually ratified. Donald Trump is somebody who has been indicted for trying to undermine that Constitution and, in fact, has also suggested in the past that he would suspend the Constitution.
Two planes collided on a taxiway at Atlanta's Hartsfield International Airport this morning. A regional plane's tail reportedly clipped. No injuries reported. New data shows the inflation-adjusted median income for American households rebounded last year to its pre-pandemic level. The Census Bureau's annual report also showed women's median earnings compared to men's widened for the first time in two decades. This is ABC.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Airports in Wisconsin are getting a share of $34 million from Washington for upgrades. The airport at Appleton is getting $3 million to add on to its terminal building. The airport in Madison is getting $6 million to fix up its taxiways. After Kamala Harris and Donald Trump debate tonight, the campaign resumes at full speed. Lisa Hale reports.
Tim Walz will be in Wausau on Friday and Superior on Saturday. Walz and Vice President Harris plan to hit every battleground state in just 4 days. While Walz stumps in Wisconsin and Michigan, Harris plans to be in North Carolina and Pennsylvania. I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
Debate coverage begins on many Civic Media stations and online tonight at 7:30. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Tonight, a presidential debate watch party will be held in La Crosse. The watch party will be held by Gwen Walz, wife of vice presidential candidate and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. The event happens in the couple of weeks after both Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump and President Joe Biden visited the Cooley region. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris will take part in a televised debate with Trump that will be hosted by ABC. You can hear the debate tonight on WLCX and the Civic Media Network. The first phase of Mayo Clinic Health System's new hospital in La Crosse is underway, with the first floor open for use. Services for radiology, imaging, and registration have been moved over from the 94-year-old St. Francis building, which will be demolished after the new 6-floor, 96-bed hospital is complete. Next week, more floors will open for specialized procedures, and later this month, inpatient care and the birth center will move over. Once the $215 million building is finished, the clinic building is next up for replacement. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The Packers will have to get by without QB1. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jordan Love is expected to miss 3 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain, and head coach Matt LaFleur says they won't play him until he's ready.
First of all, he's got to get cleared. And until he gets cleared, those conversations don't exist. So we will never put him in a position to mortgage the short term for the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he can't protect himself, we would never do that to him or our football team.
On Sunday, it will be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. Wisconsin football plays Alabama this week, and head coach Luke Fickell says they'll be challenged defensively.
We're definitely going to see it all. And, you know, I feel good. I mean, to be honest, we did a lot of that in the spring. We did a lot of that in fall camp in particular, saying, okay, we want offensively to take shots. We're going to script some of these things and make sure our guys are being challenged.
Kickoff is at 11 a.m. Saturday. And tonight, the Brewers begin a 6-game road trip in San Francisco. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Kuska for Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We could catch an isolated sprinkle or two at some point today, otherwise partly cloudy, a little breezy with a high in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s to low 60s, and then tomorrow it'll be partly cloudy, not as breezy, with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments.
Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author, comedian Roger Rittenhouse, who will discuss his new book, Big Techs, and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison drops by to discuss their upcoming slate.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Eagle, 1490 AM.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Dommers in the producer engineer's chair. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, September 10th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Sunny skies, a little haze in the air. Those wildfires out west will make it feel or seem like it's cloudy. Actually, no. No, not clouds. Smoke. Somebody's smoking a bowl out in the Rocky Summers. And it's all coming this way, as it turns out.
It sure is.
But it's a beautiful day here in the capital city. Hope it is where you are listening as well. Big show today. Looking forward to it. Late word, Mr. Zommers. This is fantastic. Coming up near the end of the program. It's like the cleanup hitter. This is a great way to end the show later on today in hour two. We are going to have Ben Wickler, the chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, on the air at around 10 to 2. He is going to, a little bit before that, actually, and he is going to be helping us preview what's going on tonight. Of course, the big presidential debate. So Ben Wickler will be here to tell us that and also to give us a little bit of an update on Wisconsin politics from the Democratic side. And I'm going to ask him about yard signs.
You know, I can't think of anybody better to help tee us up for the debate or explain what the hell's going on with the yard signs.
Exactly. He'll know. Ben Wickler, the best in the business, by the way. One of my friends, one of our listeners said, you know, they heard on the podcast or whatever that is, the God Save America or podcast.
Pod Save America, I
That's
believe.
That's it. Pod Save America, guys. Talking. And there are people that work for Obama, you understand. And they're talking Ben Wickler up as well they should. So looking forward to that hour number two.
He absolutely knows what he's doing.
He does know what he's doing. Speaking of the presidential debate tonight, fire up the VCRs, as Letterman used to say. The ABC presidential debate on Civic Media is tonight, the highly anticipated first presidential debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. Tonight, special coverage begins at 7:30. News director Terry Bell and myself at the anchor desk will welcome our new political editor, Dan Schaefer, of the recombobulation area. He'll help. This is great because he's going to help us recombobulate and get ready for the debate tonight. So great to have Dan Schaefer. I believe the fantastic Angela Lang is on the panel tonight, and our friend and ongoing contributor from the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson. So a cast of thousands, an all-star panel. Terry and I are looking forward to welcoming them at 7:30 and then go to the ABC coverage for the presidential debate tonight. And then we'll have a little post-game wrap-up and tell you what we think. Not so much me, but our wonderful panel. They'll tell us what they think.
And I can't think of anybody better. You know, we've got an all-star cast today.
Yeah, so looking forward to anchoring that a little bit later tonight from our studios. So we'll talk about that today. Also, of note, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of talk about this tonight, I'm sure, or at least fairly sure, of tonight from Trump. He's going to try to go after President Biden and link Vice President Harris to the Afghanistan withdrawal. Of course, he's the one that set that all up and try to blame that on Harris as a debauchery. Interestingly enough, a bunch of new military, top military officials who worked under Trump have now come out and endorsed Harris and said,
unsurprisingly.
And we got a cut a little bit later from Pete Buttigieg, who himself is a veteran, who himself served in Afghanistan, and he has a little bit different take on that. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later on in the show. It is Tuesday. That usually means our friend and colleague Luke Mathers is in for a Tuesday tangent with Luke. We've tried to establish connections to the Swiss Alps, but we have not been able to get him.
It would help if he wanted to, but yeah. He's on vacation. He doesn't want to. Luke, that's totally fair.
Luke is on a European vacation, testing out the Swiss chocolates in the chocolate Swiss Alps. Mm. So he will not be. But we're gonna ask you, the viewing and listening audience, what's grinding your gears today? A little bit later on. So we'll do that in honor of Luke Mathers, and much, much more. But I want to begin today with the passing of the late, great James Earl Jones, who died yesterday, we were told, at the age of 93. Now, a lot of people are going to remember James Earl Jones as the voice of Darth Vader. He wasn't the physical person. They got some other really tall guy to do that, but they didn't like his voice. And so George Lucas, this is George Lucas's baby, of course, Star Wars, and he went out and got James Earl Jones, who by that time had a very distinguished career already. On stage, he's one of the few EGOT winners, an Emmy, a Tony, an Oscar, and a
Grammy.
Grammy, thank you. So he had all those awards, but yet he had this amazingly booming voice. So... And then George Lucas picked him up for the voice of Darth Vader. And then he went on. He was also in Field of Dreams, had a big Coming to America, the Eddie Murphy movie. And, of course, he was the voice of Mufasa on The Lion King.
Which, another perfect fit for somebody with such a rich voice.
Right, exactly. So so I was going to start this segment with he was on Letterman a few years ago. David Letterman with a top 10 list of things that sound better when said by James Earl Jones. But of course, Jane Matinere, who is fantastic in her own right, she knew about this and she played it like 10 minutes ago. Well, I don't want to just repeat what Jane did a great show. I don't need to repeat that because you've probably already heard it. So we're going to get to a couple of other James Earl Jones clips. I don't think she used, but I didn't hear her whole show, so we'll see. But I thought in lieu of that, and since we're not going to bring the James Earl Jones on Letterman, we thought we'd bring you a little Letterman-esque bit. Because the Brewers play tonight. They're back in action tonight. And before we get into that, a big congratulations to one of our regular listeners on our show and also on Phil Neese's show via the Civic Media app on WRCO. Our big grand prize winner in Todd and Phil's Just a Bit Outside Text to Win contest, who is going to be tomorrow night with two tickets to the VIP world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, including a reception, a post-movie Q&A with the filmmakers at the beautiful Marcus Majestic Theater in Waukesha. Also going to get the hotel stay. I mailed him the gas card. I offered it to him last night, the $100 wow. Quick Trip card. Congratulations to Troy in Mount Horeb.
There Good you job.
Go. I talked to Troy last night. He was ecstatic. He was very thankful, very appreciative. So Troy and I believe his lovely wife are going to join us down in Waukesha for that big event. So thanks to all who played. We're also going to be reaching out in the next couple of days to our runner-up winners, which, again, not a bad prize. Two tickets to the club-level seats at Milwaukee Brewers game coming up on September 22nd. So be listening if you see a number you don't recognize, you might want to answer it in the next couple of days because we'll be reaching out for that. So Troy in Mount Horeb, our big grand prize winner for that VIP world premiere of Just a Bit Outside. So looking forward to that. And so I was getting ready to tell you the Brewers are going to play tonight. As a matter of fact, I think game time is set. Well, I got it right here. Here's the deal. I have it on my computer. Brewers against the San Francisco Giants. And they're going to playing tonight, but it's a late game for us because they're out on the West Coast, 8:45. And so I suppose the pregame is like 8:15 our time, around there. And of course, you can hear the Brewers on WRCE in Richland Center, and WRJN in, I believe, in Racine, Kenosha, and WISS in Oshkosh. So I was going to read you all of that. Oh, here it is right in front of me. Oshkosh, Park Falls, RJN in Racine, and Kenosha, and RCE in Richland Center. And we have these liners here. We have these liners. And so I thought it might be helpful to go through, and because some of them have expired. So this is kind of like going through your refrigerator, you understand? And so since we have these hot little cool blue cards, I thought, well, this will be fun. We'll go through this and weed out in real time on the air. I'll do a little housekeeping here. So here's one, sports liners for Brewers games from August 27th until August 30th. Nope, that's expired. Now I understand why Letterman had such a good time doing it. This is fun. All right, what else we got here? Be an early voter. I guess we can keep that one. Here's another liner for Brewers games from August 30th through September 6th. Missed it by that much. There we go. What else we got here? These are expiring liners in the Civic Media folder here in the control room. Things that have expired. You don't want them to go bad. You understand? You don't want moldy announcements on the air.
You sure don't.
Let's see here. What else can we get rid of here? Here's a promo for the old show at 4 to 6. I guess we can get rid of that one. There we go. Speaking of 4 to 6, as a matter of fact. A great new show with our friend and colleague Dominic Selvia. The Dom Selvia Show debuted last night on the Civic Media Radio Network at 4 o'clock. I listened to the first half hour or so. Earl Ingram was on with him. It was spectacular.
It was a fun time. They had a nice back and forth between them.
Yeah, it was a fun time had by all. So anyway, the Brewers play tonight, San Francisco Giants tonight. First pitch around 8:45 Central Standard Time. So James Earl Jones passed away, and here's a clip I don't think you've heard. He also did a little bit on Will and Grace. Now, after all that, do we have time for the Will and Grace bit?
We do not.
We do not. Right out of time. Story to Matt Damon. We'll play it when we come back. Because it's a great bit, because here's the thing, James Earl Jones, a very accomplished actor, and this was after he had done Star Wars and all this stuff and had done it all, and here is this show on NBC, Will and Grace, and they asked him to come on and do a guest bit, and he did it. And it was self-deprecating, and it was very funny, so we'll play you that. And we'll also play a little clip from The Lion King as well, as the voice of Mufasa. And welcome your calls as well. If you have any, what's your favorite James Earl Jones moment? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What is your favorite James Earl Jones moment? Your favorite play? He was on stage. He was in a number of movies over the years. And of course, this is CNN. Da, 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 ba-da-da.
He really did it all.
He did it all. And by the way, CNN put out the announcement that he had passed and listed his accomplishments last night on Twitter and never said anything about CNN.
That's kind of funny.
Ed O'Keefe from CBS responded on Twitter and said, and your network headliner.
You'd think they'd mention that somewhere.
Come on back, a little James Earl Jones for you. Not the singer, but the actor. This is the All Ball Show. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Back to the Tunnel Bowl Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 minutes after the hour of noon. Is Roxanne in the building? Sorry, I guess not. Darth Vader. It was the Darth Vader theme, as a matter of fact, from Star Wars, right?
Yeah, I was answering the question of what's your favorite James Earl Jones moment?
Yes, that's a great one. Of course, John Williams, the great composer there as well. Off the text line, the passing of James Earl Jones yesterday, asking what your favorite James Earl Jones moment is. Andrew in Maine, this is great. Listening on WAUK says, Mr. Zomers, can AI, artificial intelligence, make James Earl Jones introduce the show?
The answer is almost certainly yes, but legally, probably not.
We don't want to get sued. Oh, no, we're going to get sued. We don't want that. But good question, Andrew. Also on the WGBW out of beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, my favorite James Earl Jones character was Terrence Mann in Field of Dreams. That was a great character.
Very much so.
Field of Dreams is still one of my favorite movies.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
One of those feel-good movies. So, Andrew off WAUK says, and maybe CNN didn't want to brag that Jones only did the sounder for them because he didn't like NBC or CBS. Is that true?
I have no idea.
I don't know about that. One of the cool things I think that maybe is getting a little overlooked about James Earl Jones, and I did see a profile on him on several networks last night. He was born, as I was, with a speech impediment, like Joe Biden was, with a severe stutter. And don't quote me on the exact ages. I believe they said from the age of 7 or 8 to 14, he went mute. Never spoke because of his stutter. He was so embarrassed, so devastated by it. And they played this clip of him, James Earl Jones, and he said it was an English professor who found out, their teacher, who found out that he wrote poetry. And he got James Earl Jones to get up in front of the class and read his poetry. And that's when he started speaking again. And much like Mel Tillis or other performers who have a stutter, but when they sing, they don't stutter. When James Earl Jones did poetry in front of a crowd, he did not stutter. And that gave him the confidence to become an actor.
Which is just awesome. I know he also said in an interview on one of those clips last night that you don't necessarily get over it. You find ways to work around it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that was his way of working around it, was following a script.
Yeah. Well said. And again, it just shows us that teachers, educators are truly heroes because it was a teacher who helped James Earl Jones find a way to overcome his stutter and have a legacy career. You wonder, had it not been for that teacher, where would he be?
We probably wouldn't have heard of him.
Yeah, exactly. We have heard of him, and that's the cool part. Here is James Earl Jones from this bit on NBC's Will and Grace. And again, Jack was this character who was just over the top, you know, eccentric. And Jack, who was not, you know, he played this character who thought he was better than he really was. And so here's Jack doing an acting class, and James Earl Jones somehow becomes a student in this acting class, and Jack is trying to tell James Earl Jones how to act.
We have a very special friend joining us today. He is an acting legend, known for such memorable roles as... Oh, get out of town. You did a Lois and Clark. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. James Earl Jones of TV's Lois and Clark. Make some noise.
Thank you.
Now, let's just jump right into it. Jiminy, what do you got?
I did prepare a monologue from King Lear.
Ooh, top. And who would you like to do this monologue with?
Just me.
That's a little unorthodox, but I'll give you points for moxie. Let's do it. Yeah. Let's see it. Action, please.
Blow, winds. Crack your cheek.
Woo! We're gonna stop. Okay. Let's start with the voice. It's fine for a lesbian, but you're a man. You wanna be up here real high in your head voice.
Not down here.
But real high up here, okay, la la la.
La la la.
Okay, la la la.
La la la.
La 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 la.
La la la.
Okay, great, but now it's a little more nasal, like, lady. Lady. It's all part of lightening you up, James. We gotta lose the James Earl Jones and find the James Girl Jones.
James Earl Jones on his guest appearance on Will and Grace on NBC.
Which King Lear is one of the roles right. that he is most famous for on Broadway or yes. in acting.
In acting, on stage acting, yes. A legend, James Earl Jones. So it shows you, and I watched a little today, Third Hour, Al Roker, who had interviewed James Earl Jones, and said that just in person, he remained to his dying day, James Earl Jones did, humble, self-deprecating, basically just willing to do anything for a bit and didn't mind that he was this great legend, but wasn't afraid to come down and just be with real people. So I thought that was fantastic. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Fred, listening on WMDX in Cottage Grove. Fred, what have you got for us on James Earl Jones?
The Sandlot from 1993.
Mm.
He played the blind neighbor to the Sandlot, Myrtle, Mr. Myrtle.
Wow, I'd forgotten about that one.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Great.
It teaches kids to play as a team and not win or lose. It doesn't matter. It's a, it's a team thing. It's a really good movie.
And isn't that interesting that so many of James Earl Jones's works did teach us something, if we were willing to listen, right? That's a great point. Fred, thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Time for the Mufasa clip here. This is from Lion King. This is James Earl Jones playing Mufasa in The Lion King. Fitting for today.
Dad?
Hmm?
We're pals, right?
Right.
And we'll always be together, right?
Simba, let me tell you something that my father told me. Look at the stars. The great kings of the past look down on us from those stars.
Really?
Yes. So whenever you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. And so will I.
I just get goosebumps hearing it. I mean, that voice, right? I mean, it was the perfect fit, the perfect voice actor, perfect actor, period, for that film.
Yeah, just the booming voice, you know, can have the ferocious quality of a lion, but he can also have that gentle, fatherly quality. It was perfect for the character.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, listening in Appleton on WGBW in Green Bay, says, my favorite character of James Earl Jones is Porgy from Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. There you go. So a long and storied career, James Earl Jones will certainly be missed. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family. But boy, are we the fortunate ones that his legacy lives on in all of these works that are preserved and that generations from now, people still have the ability to know who James Earl Jones was and his legacy because of the technology. And that's the cool part about technology, right? That we can preserve all this stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We're going to come back, do a little business here, a little farm ag report from our friends at Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke and her fine staff. We'll look at news with Terry Bell and the team across the state of Wisconsin, and a little weather update as well. It's going to be cloudy today, not so much clouds, a little smoky. That's smoke from the west up there, the high atmosphere, but otherwise a nice day ahead across Wisconsin. It's the Todd Allball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The tides have turned this year with South America as they are going through a drought while they try to plant their crops. I'm Ben Jarba with the Midwest Farm Report, here with John Heinberg, a market advisor for Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, explaining why we should be following these agriculture woes in South America.
And there's a little bit of chatter about the drought being very, very severe in some regions. Now, that's going to pause some planting on the soybean side. They don't plant until the rains come. I already seen that Mato Grosso is backing off on their soybean planting, at least in terms of their start date. That can just kind of push things all back on the calendar as the year goes on. So we'll have to kind of keep an eye on that. You know, right now they are planting some of that first crop corn, which typically goes into the industrial side or right into the Brazil use purposes, not for the export market. They're about 15% done in those southern states where that moisture is. But that's going to be something going forward if that starts pushing those planting dates back, if that moisture doesn't come with the monsoon season or the wet season.
John Heinberg explains if the wet season does not produce in South America, that could be something to watch for in the markets. I am Ben Jarba with the Midwest Farm Report, and the midday markets are coming up right after this.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau is the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward. Our voting members set policy that guides the organization on the local, state, and national level, with the ultimate goal of helping farmers like you and me back home. You can make a difference by becoming a member at WFEF.com.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau. Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarb with the Midwest Farm Report, and remember to follow along with us on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can download it on our website at thefarmwi.com. You can also find it on your app store. Now for your midday markets from Chicago. December corn has taken a small hit as it's at 405, down 2.25. November soybeans took a bit bigger of a hit after an uprising yesterday as it sits at 10 even, down 18 cents. December wheat is trading at 572.5, up 4 cents. Class 3 milk contracts for October are down a little bit as it's at 2351 hundredweight, down 3 cents. While November Class 3 milk contracts are up 2 cents at 2297 hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We could catch an isolated sprinkle or two at some point today, otherwise partly cloudy, a little breezy with a high in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s to low 60s. And then tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy, not as breezy, with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday, how you vote in November could determine whether China starts paring back its carbon emissions or feels it has a blank check to pollute all it wants.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along here on a Tuesday, September 10, 2024, 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Coming up in hour two, not going to want to miss it, towards the end of the program, because he's a very busy dude. And, I mean, how nice is this? He said, I can give you 10 minutes. And I said, honored to have it. Chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, is going to be here later on, hour two. Give us a little update. Help us to think through this presidential debate tonight put on by ABC. We will carry it live here on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app beginning at 8 o'clock. But tune in for the pregame show at 7:30. News director Terry Bell and myself at the anchor desk, along with Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, our very own Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media and also the Recombobulation area, and Angela Lang from Milwaukee, who is spectacular in her own right. So they will all be here tonight. Looking forward to that. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Mark calling in Prairie du Sac. Mark, always a pleasure. I know before the break we were talking a little bit about James Earl Jones. Did you have something regarding that or something else on your mind today, Mark?
No, it was James Earl Jones. I remember him being on Big Bang Theory with Sheldon and kind of pushing Sheldon into beyond his comfort zone that I think he ended up like in a steam bath at some point in time.
You're right.
And then we went out to dinner, I guess. And Sheldon just when he first met Sheldon, he says the only thing he cared about was his kid doing the Star Wars, doing Darth Vader in Star Wars. And Sheldon was like, because James Earl Jones was he did other stuff than that. But all Sheldon was worried about was Star Wars. So, I mean, the kind of the self-depreciating humor that Jones showed in that is just kind of a testament to the man.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Isn't it cool that someone who rose to the top level of his profession in acting and performance, James Earl Jones, it sounds like to those who really knew him, even almost basically to his dying day, he remained with that self-deprecating humor and just that groundedness and told Al Roker, I guess, a couple of years ago that he was still looking for his lifetime performance, that he was still chasing that. I just love his passion.
Yeah, it's just the guy with all his accomplishments had a core of humility and showed that in his life and his works.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, always a pleasure. Thanks for calling in. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Again, the debate coming up tonight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm no crystal ball here, and this is the cool thing that I'm looking forward to having Trigvi Olson on the show tonight, a former Republican like myself, now at the Lincoln Project. Trigvi has been a part of preparation for and being in the room during a presidential debate, worked on John McCain's presidential race in 2008. Has been a part of others as well, but really McCain's was the big one for him. So he knows what it's like, and so always interested tonight to have him on the panel to say, what are they doing right now? You know, some candidates, are they just like chilling out? Do they want that half hour, an hour before they go on the stage to just compose their thoughts alone? Or do they want a staff person just quizzing them right up until everybody's different, right?
And Trigvi is really good at, when hearing a politician speak and watching their body language,
yes,
immediately seeing something and thinking, this is what they were told beforehand.
Right.
Yeah. I look forward to hearing what he has to say about that.
Yep, I agree. That insight and knowing how a candidate answers questions tells you a lot about how they were prepared. We're hearing now, and you kind of have to take it all with a grain of salt, right? It's the old Trump line. People are saying, many people are saying that Trump is taking the debate prep less seriously, and apparently they have to like not tell him it's debate prep and that it's just like policy stuff when they talk beside him.
That sounds about right.
It seems goofy. Meanwhile, Vice President Harris is taking it much more seriously, much more traditionally, where they actually recreate, I'll call it the stage, in terms of two podiums, same length apart, the hosts or the moderators the same number of feet away from the podium. So it feels like you're actually going to be out there on the stage, and then having someone play the role of Donald Trump and being trying to think through how boisterous he's going to be, how over the top, so that your candidate, in this case, Harris, has a feel for what it's going to be like on the debate stage. So one of the things that I think that Trump is going to try to bring up, because we've seen this in his rallies lately, we saw it up in Mosinee over the weekend, is this whole deal about the military. And I've heard, again, this is actually legit, and seen for myself from some people on Facebook and other social media platforms, people who have served as veterans, and again, my utmost respect to anybody who has served. We do what we can on this program to both support our veterans and our current folks in the military. But it's just intriguing to me that some people who have served now feel that Trump is the only candidate to vote for if you're a military person or if you're a veteran. Remember, the military itself is not directly political. They don't do politics. Well, we visit bases around Wisconsin and have the honor and privilege to do that. We're always very respectful. We don't get into partisan politics because they don't. Supporting our military should not, by the way, in my opinion, be partisan. Supporting our military personnel. But some people are saying, no, you have to vote for Trump. But of course, Trump, as it turns out, desecrated Section 60 of Arlington National Cemetery a couple weeks ago when he showed up, apparently the invite of a couple of families who have lost loved ones and who are buried there, but did not have the permission of the military. And the military code, laws, rules strictly say that there is no videography, photography for any political type of reason, for anything at all, you know, done by an individual. The only photographs that could be taken in Section 60 are by military personnel themselves. Or I suppose, you know, if you want to go, if you're someone who lost someone and take a picture of that tombstone of your individual, they would allow that, I'm assuming. But what Trump did to go in there without permission to photograph other headstones of other people who were buried there without their family's permission, and was smiling, by the way, in these photographs and giving a thumbs up, which is sick in its own right, in my opinion. And then it's come out, National Public Radio and other journalists have documented and confirmed that Trump staffers both physically and verbally assaulted a female Arlington staffer, I'm assuming a military member, when she tried to stop them from photographing and videographing Trump's visit. And then they went so far as to say, well, you know, she's crazy. She had a mental health issue, which is not true. Again, talking down to women. Trump and his staff claimed that they had video footage that would prove they were in the right. Despite numerous asks by numerous media, the Trump people will not release that. My guess is it does not exist. Trump has called military, those who have died, suckers and losers. His former chief of staff, a decorated four-star Marine general, John Kelly, whose son is buried at Arlington, Trump stood right next to General Kelly and asked, while at the grave of his son, what's in it for them? Trump refused to visit the graves of the fallen overseas in France because it was raining, and said of those fallen American heroes, they're suckers and losers. Called John McCain names because he was captured. Says John McCain was not a hero because he was captured. John McCain, of course, spent months in the so-called Hanoi Hilton during Vietnam, a prison internment camp, was tortured, both of his arms broken, before finally being released. Now, how you could vote for someone like that if you're a military member or a veteran, I don't understand that. But again, in fairness, I never served. Yesterday, 10 retired senior military officials endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris, saying she, quote, is the best and only presidential candidate in this race who is fit to serve as our commander-in-chief. Frankly stated, Donald Trump is a danger to our national security and our democracy. His own former national security advisors, defense secretaries, and chiefs of staff have said so, unquote. John Kelly, Trump's former chief of staff, a decorated four-star Marine general, has said Trump is unfit to serve. General Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under Trump, says Trump is unfit to serve another term. Trump's own former vice president, Mike Pence, refuses to endorse him. The last Republican president, George W. Bush, refuses to endorse Trump. The last vice president before Pence, Dick Cheney, has endorsed and said he will vote for Kamala Harris, as will his daughter, former Republican congresswoman from Wyoming, Liz Cheney. And now, yesterday, there was this bogus kind of made-up report by House Republicans on the withdrawal from Afghanistan, trying to blame Biden and Harris that something nefarious was going on. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, himself an Afghanistan veteran who served, who commanded troops in the field. This is what Secretary Pete Buttigieg, a veteran, had to say about this.
Tomorrow, we expect the House Foreign Affairs Committee to release the findings of its three-year investigation into what happened. How does Kamala Harris defend what we all saw?
First of all, of course, I haven't seen what's in the report coming out tomorrow, but I do have a question about what they're doing over there. If they've had 3 years to assess what happened, why are they delivering a report after Labor Day in a presidential election year? I think it really feeds into a sense that this is something they're using as a political football. This administration made the decision not to allow this war to be inherited by a fifth president and to end that conflict. And this is on my mind a lot in September, not just because of the anniversary of the withdrawal, but because it was September 10 years ago that I left Afghanistan. And when I left, again, 10 years ago, 2014, they told us we were some of the last troops, that they were turning out the lights, only to find that it passed on to another presidency and another presidency after that. What's, of course, most at stake right now, as is true in any election, is our future. And what is going to be the future of American national security? Do we have adults, grown-ups in charge who understand the stakes, or do we have people who are incapable of taking even the most serious issues seriously? And I think it's especially revealing and important that among Trump's own advisors and appointees who have gone on to denounce him, to talk about him in scathing terms, to make clear that he has no business being president, so many of them come out of the national security side because they saw up close how dangerous it was to have him in charge of American national security and military affairs.
That was Dana, I believe Dana Bash on CNN on State of the Union over the weekend on Sunday. That was the night before, the day before that this kind of bogus report came out. And if you've noticed, not a lot of news outlets are talking about this because, again, as Secretary Buttigieg points out, the timing of this is suspect at best. This was all being developed, by the way, under the assumption they were running against Joe Biden. They never thought, the Republicans, the Trump folks, that Biden would do the right thing for the country, put country ahead of self, and step aside. You understand they had this all teed up, this bogus House Republican report on Afghanistan. It was all teed up to be released 2 days before Biden would go up against Trump so that Trump would have the ammunition to pound him for 90 minutes on this. That's why this was timed up this way. And nothing to it, basically. As Pete Buttigieg just pointed out, a veteran himself. The other thing I think you're going to hear a lot about tonight is Russia. Russian interference. The party of Reagan, who said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, is playing footsie with Vladimir. We'll come back, talk about it. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up in hour 2, in the second half of hour 2, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Mr. Ben Wickler. Always a pleasure, always an honor. He will be here with us on the program to give us his take on the presidential debate coming up tonight between Vice President Harris, former President Trump, via ABC television. But will be carried right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, beginning at 7:30, a pregame show with our very own news director, Terry Bell, and myself. Joining us at the table will be Mr. Trygve Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Dan Schaefer, the political editor of Civic Media and of the Recombobulation Area, and Angela Lang. Coming up from Milwaukee, as a matter of fact. We'll be here in Madison, the world headquarters, and again, covering it all tonight, beginning at 7:30, tip-off time, as they say, tip-off. Wouldn't it be great if if Trump and Harris came out and there'd be a basketball tip-off, and whoever got the basketball first got the first question?
He's taller, but she's younger, so I'm not sure who'd get it.
It wouldn't even be close.
No, I know.
She would absolutely. I mean, and here's the thing, and this has nothing to do with the person's qualifications, but my sister and I have talked about this a lot, and she agrees, by the way. Is there anybody that looks more, and I'm sorry, some people don't like, my mom doesn't like it when I say this, I'm going to say it anyway. Is there anybody who looks more kick-ass on a tarmac than Kamala Harris?
I think the answer is no.
I mean, the way she strides across, even in heels, and she's got the sunglasses and the pantsuit. I mean, she looks like something out of Central Casting, like from Madam Secretary.
Absolutely.
I mean, she has the confidence, the poise, the care. And I know it has nothing to do with how good somebody is going to be president of the United States or whatever. But, I mean, she looks the part. She looks in command. She looks in control.
And in today's world of reality TV politics,
yes,
you need that.
100%. You nailed it. And she's extraordinarily athletic. I mean, yeah, if there was a tip-off for the debate tonight, Harris would jump up there and grab the ball. They'd be all over. Trump would probably be scared. Andrew says, Harris is jumping in heels, though, unless you tell her beforehand about the jump ball and she wears her Vans or her Chucks. I think she could do it in heels. I really do.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, that's not going to happen, but I'm just saying that wouldn't that be spectacular if it would happen? Here's what I think will happen tonight. I think Russia will come up. Again, Attorney General Merrick Garland, U.S. Attorney General, has brought indictments against this little-known, smaller media company based in Tennessee, where you have these right-wing media, so-called media people, self-appointed media people, that are predominantly on YouTube and Twitter and all these social media channels, but they have millions of followers. And saying things beforehand on Ukraine that Russia is the hero and the United States is evil and we need to pull out of Ukraine. The day after these indictments came down, one of these idiots, Poole is his last name, Tim Poole, immediately flipped and said, I've come to realize that the United States is on the right side and Russia is the evil aggressor. Geez, funny how that happens when you are facing lots of time behind bars.
Weird how legal action can make people tell the truth.
Right? Just like in the Fox News thing, right?
Exactly.
The Dominion voting machines. On the air, Sean Hannity, oh, this is real news. We have no bias whatsoever. But then when you get in a courtroom, a federal courtroom, under oath, with real jail time as a penalty you're looking at, actually, we do entertainment, and none of the things we say are real. I mean, that's a paraphrase.
$750,000.
Right.
$750 million.
Yeah, over $700 million they got fined for their lies about the 2020 election and the Dominion voting machines. So Zomers is right. When you're under oath, people usually tell a different story, at least a truthful one. All right, do we have time for this one clip? I want to take this one clip on from Liz Cheney and talking about. So here is Liz Cheney over the weekend on This Week on ABC talking about Tucker Carlson and the new Trump Republican take on Russians.
There are certainly areas where I disagree with Biden administration national security policy, where I've disagreed with Vice President Harris's position on issues. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to fundamental alliances, when it comes to the importance of NATO, for example, and how important it is for the United States to lead in the world, we've seen a sea change. We now have a Republican Party that is embracing isolationism, that is embracing Putin, that, you know, we've seen just in the last week, the Republican vice presidential nominee willing to appear, willing to be interviewed by Tucker Carlson, who is platforming pro-Nazis, is himself pushing pro-Nazi propaganda. That is not the party of Ronald Reagan. And I believe strongly that if you're talking about a national security set of issues and you care about.
They cut off there.
Right. But, yeah. My bad.
That's fine. No worries. But again, that is not a liberal Democrat saying that. Not a progressive saying that. That's not anybody from the Democratic quote unquote machine saying that. That is one of the most conservative, I guess now former Republicans. She hasn't really quite clarified, but she says she's a conservative still, but would not any longer accept the Republican moniker under Trump, Liz Cheney, and has endorsed and said she will vote for Kamala Harris. So what's the argument if you're Donald Trump? What's the argument tonight on the stage? Despite the fact that I have lost the main core of the former Republican Party, I'm still a Republican? What's your argument, Donald? Meanwhile, Vice President Harris can point to actual facts and those of Republicans like Liz Cheney. That's why the Democratic National Convention in Chicago that we were at was so absolutely amazing. Because it was inclusive. And I'm not talking about racially inclusive, which is important. I'm talking about ideologically. The Democratic National Convention this year, under the guidance of the Harris team, the Harris-Walz team, felt like a convention you could have seen in the 80s under the Republicans. It was a variety of speakers. A variety of folks, including former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger, himself a veteran. All kinds of American flags. In Chicago at the Democratic National Convention was chants of USA, USA. At the Republican Convention in Milwaukee, it was deportation, throw them out. Which one do you want to vote for? The party that looks back or the party that looks forward? We're not going back. We're going to hour two. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Eagle 1490 AM. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks at 11:33. Send in your health-related questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe."
Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.